along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and plenty of more guests throughout the week. Visit Wisconsin, Visit Rome is going to join us. We'll have Senator Patrick Teston on Friday, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Wisconsin basketball all season, all week long. Going to be good stuff. You guys have a great weekend. Stick around. More great programming coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Allison Keyes in the Washington Bureau. That's supplies being loaded at the airport in Jakarta to help the hundreds of thousands who need help in the wake of the earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria. More than 25,000 are dead and the toll is rising. CBS's Chris Livesay with more.
In Turkey's southeastern city of Adıyaman, they now live among the rubble, every one of them with relatives inside, battling both the grief and the cold. Look at us, says İpek. I don't have any shoes. I don't have any water to wash my hands. We have nothing. There are more dead people here than alive. This city is a cemetery.
Rescuers are still finding people alive, though, including a 16-year-old and a 70-year-old woman. The head of the World Health Organization is in Syria, which has been devastated by the earthquake, and he's worried about what happens next.
People are exposed to other health problems, especially mental health problems. So we will work together in order to address the impact of this.
Back in the U.S., the government is still trying to get more information about that object President Biden ordered shot down over Alaska yesterday. This a week after that Chinese spy balloon was shot down off the coast of South Carolina. But CBS's Bradley Blackburn tells us no one is sure what this latest object is or where it came from.
The White House says the object was about the size of a small car, unmanned, and flying low enough to interfere with commercial planes. They say that was a key reason for the swift action.
In Memphis, a charitable foundation named a canopy at a park for Tyree Nichols. He's the black man who died 3 days after a brutal beating by police officers in the wake of a traffic stop. Video of the attack led to outrage and demonstrations across the nation. Five former officers are facing second-degree murder charges. Nichols' mother, Rovan Wells, spoke at the ceremony.
We appreciate all the love and support that we have received from our communities and all over the world. I know my son right now is smiling down.
A day before Super Bowl 57, there's a new study from Boston University finding that nearly 92% of former NFL players have the degenerative brain disease, CTE. It's often caused by repetitive head impacts in contact sports or in military service. CTE expert Dr. Chris Nowinski says it's important to stop kids as young as 5 years old from being recruited to play football.
We now know that CTE is caused by playing football, and the longer you play, the more likely you are to develop the disease.
In East Jerusalem, an 8-year-old boy has died from his injuries. This is CTE.
Guys, this Valentine's Day, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sexy, sultry, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Even more alluring than lingerie, the texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive that you'll both love the feel of them. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. Go to pajamagram.com right now and save 25%. Pajamagram will even wrap the whole gift up for free. That's right, 25% off naturally nude pajamas and free gift packaging. Listen, if you missed out on this offer during Christmas, don't make the same mistake twice. But you need to order today, because last year they sold out before Valentine's Day. Here's what you do. Go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com. Use code NUDE, N-U-D-E, and save 25% off your order of naturally nude pajamas. Order now.
Pricey block.
Still looking for that perfect Valentine's Day gift? How about a beautiful Ethiopian opal ring for free? Stone Age Gem, Mineral, and More and WFHR are teaming up for this fantastic giveaway. Just go to the Stone Age Gem or WFHR Facebook page and let us know how you and your significant other met before noon on Valentine's Day. The best story will win this one-of-a-kind piece. Make this a Valentine's to remember with Stone Age Gem and WFHR, a locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 44 this afternoon under clear skies, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 20, tonight mainly clear. High temperatures reach up to 44, tomorrow sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mainly sunny Monday with highs in the upper 30s, chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 41.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I am your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks. Welcome to the Cripescast. I'm talking with a bit of a lisp today.
An injury. We got a boo-boo.
I got a mouth boo-boo. I got stitches in my mouth, which is a weird place to have stitches. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second, but I'm super pumped today to talk to Dallas Goldtooth, who is, I would say, my favorite character in Reservation Dogs. He plays the Spirit. And if you've seen, have you seen the show, Colleen?
No, I was looking up some clips.
Oh, you haven't
seen
it?
I gotta watch it.
Oh my gosh, you gotta see it. It's so great.
What's it available on? Do you know?
Hulu? I think it's Hulu.
Want to give me your password? I'll watch it.
I'll give you my password.
No, just kidding. I got it. I'll watch it. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I'll give you my password. You gotta trade me a password.
Like, I got HBO Max.
Well, I got HBO Max. I got my brother's HBO Max.
I got Disney Plus.
Okay, I'll take a Disney Plus. I'll trade you a Disney Plus for a Hulu.
Okay, cool. Consider it done.
Yeah. But also, Dallas, so years ago, I started watching these amazing comedy videos on YouTube from the 1491s. It's an indigenous comedy group. And man, I thought they were so funny. And I actually think I tried reaching out to them over via YouTube at one point, like years ago. And then YouTube has such a weird messaging thing. I don't know if they ever saw it or not, but anyway, it was very cool to finally link up with Dallas. He co-founded the group and now he is a writer on Reservation Dogs season 2. He was in the first season, and he's also an environmentalist, an activist, and just a super cool dude to talk to. And I think we're going to do some video collabs. We've already been sort of texting about those. So that's honestly what I really like that about the Cripescast, is there's a lot of cool collaborations that come out of it too.
He was so excited about the show. Like, he's, I think he was referencing the Cripescast, and not to make it about me, but he's like, I was expecting to meet Colleen. I felt like, mm-hmm, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was
you
fun.
Are a big deal, Colin. Yeah, Dallas is
he's awesome.
Yeah, he's so great.
And lots for of him funny to, stories,
because he's so funny. He's my I mean, and then to for him to say that stuff, I mean, it's just a great dude. So anyway, here is my interview with Dallas Goldtooth.
Hello, sir. How are you?
How did you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. How about you?
Good. You know what's crazy is I always say that. I don't expect a response for some reason in my mind, because I didn't realize it's a question of how do you do. It's just a howdy.
You were kind of saying it's like a howdy.
Yeah.
And howdy is just short for how do you do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's just a weird thing. It always throws me off when someone responds, and I was like, responds, and I'm like, oh, I was asking a question. So, but thank you for responding. I'm doing well. This is like a basic English 101.
How I know.
Thank you.
Well, I'm fantastic. Where are you right now?
I'm in Chicago. That's where I
live.
Are
you? Yep. You live in Chicago? Dude, I live in Milwaukee.
Yeah, you're right up the way, just right up the coast.
We're way up north now. No, not way up north. We're in Stevens Point.
Okay.
So you ever been to Stevens Point?
I've never been to Stevens Point. Actually, wait, is there a college there?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, UW?
Stevens UW Point. Stevens Point, the Pointers. Yeah,
I did a, I don't know if I did a comedy show there. I believe I did a show there. And then I also emceed a powwow, their student powwow.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like years back. I think maybe 15, 13 years ago or something.
How do you get that gig?
The Native student group invited me up. So they I did a YouTube comedy bit series playing a character as a powwow MC. People thought that. Okay. I was like, hey, he'd actually be good as a powwow MC. So they asked me to come up. I don't think I did too well. That was like my first actual job as a powwow MC. You know, when you're making fun of something and then somebody asks you to do what you're making fun of, it's hard to make the transition.
It's kind of the self-parody of it is a little difficult of a thing there.
Yeah.
Have you, was that your only powwow emceeing gig? Did you get?
No, I've done like maybe 4 or 5 actual gigs. A funny one is I did one of my first ones. It was like my second time was for my own community. I'm from Minnesota.
Okay.
I'm from
Minnesota,
Southwest Minnesota, a little res called Lower Sioux Indian Community. It's up the river from Mankato, down straight south of Wilmer, Minnesota. And, corn and sugar beet country. That's where I'm from. And I got asked to do the powwow, the MC job for my own community powwow. And I was a co-MC. There's an older guy with me. And I bombed. It was how bad I did. It's my own community, and they didn't even ask me back. Like they were like,
really,
no. Yeah. No one came to shake my hand after. You know that's a big sign is when someone doesn't like. It's my own community too. I expect that cold shoulder, but like no one talked about it. Like it never happened. It like never existed.
God, that's terrible.
It's quite funny to me. It's just hilarious because I don't know. I have a history. We did a so I'm with a sketch comedy. I have a sketch comedy
1491s,
group. 1491s. One of our worst shows was in my own home community. Like my home show we crashed and burned. And
really?
It's pretty funny now. Yeah. No one showed up. That's the thing. Nobody showed up.
Well, you need that, especially. Now, I kind of want to go into that. So the 1491s, I think I found your YouTube maybe a couple years ago. How did you start that? Did you start that as sort of a live sketch troupe and then go to the YouTube thing? Or
I all right, first of all, I got to say, I'm like super excited to be on here. Like,
I'm nerded
out here.
Really?
Yeah.
You've seen my stuff?
Oh yeah, dude. I've been seeing your stuff for a while, for like a couple of years. Your content is on my feed. TikTok and Instagram are feeding me you, so you're being fed to me.
Wow, so how about that?
You're in my niche.
This is very very funny because I've been a fan of yours for a while, so I'm glad that we both have the same feeling inside of us.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know? The algorithm gods understand our wants and needs. That's yeah.
We praise them
unknowingly.
I know. That's the worst is trying to serve this algorithm situation. But whatever it is, it's working. I suppose from my perspective, years. If it keeps serving me up, but
it is. I mean, it's you and like home inspectors. And like Malaysian women cooking at home. That's you're within that group. So
I'm honored.
Yeah.
I'm honored. Oh, thanks. So did you guys start though as doing the YouTube thing, or how'd you get together? I don't know your story there.
So 1491s is a crew of 5 of us, a sketch comedy group. We do improv sketch comedy. We haven't done it in a while. We started maybe 15 years ago. Really, the way it started is with me and my brother. My brother Migazi, he's from Bemidji. He's an Anishinaabe Ojibwe from northern Minnesota, and we were just messing around. All right, I have to ask a question. Can I curse on here?
Yeah. Because I think I'm going to once I ask you if you're a Vikings fan or not. You know, so. Well,
That's fair. I just that my second follow up. Well, actually, my first question was: Is this a Christian podcast?
No, I don't think so. God's gonna be pissed if it is. That's for sure.
No, I so we me and my brother have always been wanting to make movies. We've always been fascinated with movie making. My brother, especially, he's my older brother. He's my stepbrother. And he always wanted to make movies. And he moved out to LA, tried to do the whole bit, like moved to LA when he was like 19, got some internship program and grinded for like 3-4 years and nothing. It was just like, just, you know, he got some opportunities, but nothing came up. And so he moved home. And it was one of those moments where he's like, hey, I got to go home. Like, this is not working out. Can't pay the bills. And he moved back home, and I went to go visit him. And I happened to have a camera that I stole from work. So this is like a little, I'm telling on myself. I did a youth work program, I was youth services, and we had a camera for like work, and I took it with me. And I went to visit my brother, and I was like, hey man, let's just do a video. Like you want to do a video? And he was all, you know, kind of sad, morose guy in the basement up in Bemidji. And I was like, dude, let's do a video. And we did a comedy video that we just came up on the spot. It was a spoof of Silence of the Lambs in the scene where like the guy's like puts the lotion on the skin thing. And we didn't have a purpose. We just wanted to do a funny video for ourselves. Showed our family, had some laughs. We posted it online and people started liking it on like, you know, Facebook. It was, I think, back in MySpace days. So like it started going amongst the native community, started going a little viral.
Yeah.
We did like a couple more videos together, and the guys, two of our friends from Oklahoma, they were also separately doing their own video stuff. One of my buddies, Sterling Harjo, he just did two feature films, and so he was touring. He was going on a tour to talk about his films, and they were going to do a showing in Minneapolis, and this is back in, I'd say, 2010. And so him and my other buddy, Ryan, they came up from Oklahoma. Me and Miggy Z were in Bemidji. And we're like, hey, we knew of each other. We're like, hey, let's meet up. And so we met in Minneapolis. Our fifth friend, Bobby, who I used to work with, I hit up Bobby. I was like, hey, man, you want to hang out? And then we said, hey, let's make a video together. And so we, on the fly, decided to make a video together. Bobby found a spot for us, and we filmed a spoof of the Twilight series. The first movie had come out, the Twilight, you know. Vampires, the vampire series. We did a spoof about a casting call for the wolves, who are native, right? What was the casting call for a bunch of topless, shirtless natives look like when the natives aren't all buff? And we filmed it, and people loved it. And we just were like, dude, we enjoy making together. We enjoy like fucking being around together and coming up with ideas, and we just kept doing it. We just kept putting out videos, and soon we're like, dude, let's form a group, let's create a name, let's do. We came up with the name 1491s, and it's an homage to Prince. Party like it's 1999, let's party like it's 1491. Most folks don't get that homage to Prince, but
Minnesota, it makes sense though.
Yeah. So like we traveled for like, you know, 15-16 years, just like, you know, it was our side job where we would do sketch comedy shows. People saw our videos and they would ask us out, a lot of student groups, a lot of college gigs, and mostly all native. So we went from Alaska to Florida, like traveled extensively, and people ask, where's the 1491s now? What are you guys doing? Where are you? Why don't you make videos? And funny enough, and pretty cool, interesting, is that I'm now cast in the show. I'm a writer for this TV show called Reservation Dogs on FX.
Which is phenomenal.
Oh, it's thanks.
Amazing show.
And we're all behind that. The showrunner is Sterling Harjo, the guy that was from Oklahoma that was doing his feature films. My buddy Ryan Redcorn, who's with him, he's one of the writers as well. Miggy Z, my stepbrother, was one of the writers from season one and is one of the executive producers. Bobby Wilson, our fifth member, is also executive producer. So 1491s are all behind the Reservation Dogs, along with some other amazing Native writers and producers. So we grew up in many ways. Like, you know, like we're like, hey, we hit the road and now we're doing this. And we've been talking about doing some more, getting back to our sketch now and maybe trying to develop something. But we've integrated a lot of our sketches. There's a good amount of our comedy, our sketch work is in the show. And
I kind of see that. And it's so fun to see, you know, sort of that transition from digital to like the big time, you know, doing TV kind of the way you have. And that was kind of going to be my next question. Do you miss anything from like sort of the sketch days? Is there a creative freedom that you had there that maybe you don't now that you have other network voices and all that kind of guiding some things? Or do you pretty much have creative freedom on that show?
Pretty much creative freedom. Like Sterling Harjo has been able to hold the line. I mean, the biggest thing was the filming in Oklahoma. That was a hard line. He's like, I'm not filming in California. We're not filming anywhere else. We're filming it where the story takes place in Oklahoma.
Okay. Everyone I love that. There.
It's entirely shot in Oklahoma. It's for the most part, it's an entire Oklahoma film crew. So it's all local folks getting money and getting paid to be on that.
So yeah. I want to keep going down whatever that my other question, but on this note here, I just want to address of you filming in Oklahoma, because does Oklahoma have tax credits to film there?
As I understand it, they're not great tax credits, but I think they developed them it wasn't because of Reservation Dogs. It was actually, they developed it because of bridges over something like Osage County, one of those.
Oh, movies. Yeah.
So they do have tax credits. So they do.
Okay.
Yes. I don't think it's as good as like Georgia or like New Mexico, but it's there now. And Reservation Dogs has very much helped push the local like business. Like people are actually taking it serious and investing in the industry now.
Oh, so nice.
I think like one of Taylor Sheridan's show, like one of the Yellowstone offshoots, Tulsa King, which is Sylvester Stallone, that was filmed in Oklahoma now. And there's another project, and Scorsese's latest film that's gonna be coming out was filmed in Oklahoma, called what was that called? Shoot. It's about the Osage murders back in the early 1900s. There was a whole series of murders, but I forgot the name.
Yeah, I also can kind of see it, but
anyways, Scorsese.
Yeah, it's not going to come. Yeah, okay. Big films. So I mean, that's cool because and do the people in Oklahoma, from you know your perspective working there, do they like it, or is it like a nuisance?
They like it. I mean,
that's
it's
great.
One of those weird things that you can be. I've encountered is like you can be in the most backcountry area, and also like people associate the media in a lot of rural areas. It's like, oh, that's the media, that's the left media over there. But if you have cameras in your neighborhood, you're excited. Like people, movies, it doesn't matter where you're at, everyone's like, oh, we're in the movies, and they'll drive by, you'll see trucks, you know, pickup trucks, the farmers come by and check it out, and they scope it out and wave to them. I like to around when I'm on set, and I roam. Like I don't like sitting in my trailer, I don't like sitting still in a seat where they say, okay, cast, you sit over here. Like I will roam, and then they'll have to find me. And so I was in character. My character, folks don't know, is I play a Native American who died back in the 1800s at the Battle of the Little Bighorn. And so like I'm dressed up as your stereotypical Indian on horseback with long hair. And so I would go in between takes. I'd go to the main street of the town we were filming and put my thumb out to hitchhike and and wave to people. I went into the intersection and was directing traffic. And like there was a cop there and he was cool with it. Like the cop was like right there. I literally stopped traffic to like, direct it. And the cop was just laughing there to watch it. So we have a blast.
That's great. Tell me about why was it important to do Spirits, or the way that you chose to do that, kind of taking on the trope and then almost transforming it in a way, like cliche yeah. reform sort of.
Yeah, I mean, it's that character is, you know, I don't have a straight copy of that character in our sketch improv shows that we used to do. Oh, actually, answer one of your older a question you asked earlier is I do miss.
Oh yeah, I miss
live performance. Like I love the chaotic energy of being in front of a crowd.
Yeah. And
the way we did our show is that there were sketches, but we left them room for adaptation and improv. So we would have these general outlines, and then based on the crowd and feedback from the crowd, we'd improv it. And so if we weren't vibing the crowd, we had our straight sketch. We'd just stick to it. And then if there was an open window, we'd take it and start improvising and open it up. I love how nervous I got before going on stage. Like I'm one of those people, it doesn't matter. I've done it for so many years. I get so freaking nervous. But once you get on stage and the mic's hot, like it's out the window. I'm like, all right, this train's running. Let's just go for it. I kind of miss that.
Yeah. You get a bit of a high doing that. So just to get back to this, cause I know we passed over, you said that you are now thinking of getting back into doing more sort of the 1491 sketch stuff on YouTube. Is that what you were saying?
We were talking about doing it live or actually trying to pitch a show. Like, you know, we're now in the TV world, right? It's like,
yeah.
Is the world ready for a sketch show? We don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's kind of, it took a bit of a dip there. Sketch shows kind of,
they were hot for, you know, Key and Peele and Chappelle and you know, Amy Schumer, right? Or who was it?
Yeah,
Schumer. Yeah. And then they kind of went away for a bit.
I got a little bit of the ADD, so this would be prepared because I just let you know it's the way it goes. Because I saw your name. You were doing a performance over the summer up in Bemidji.
Yeah, I was. Actually, I did it not over the summer. No, I did it. I did it in December or late November, and it was cold there, but what a beautiful, beautiful part of the world.
Right?
Holy smokes, man.
Right.
So I went walking. I just got to say this real quick because I also have ADD, but I went walking at the Bemidji Lake State Park. Does that sound right?
Yep.
So I'm walking. I love watching birds too. So I see so many bald eagles, so many, I think golden eagles, or it was a female bald eagle. I didn't have my glasses on, which was unfortunate. But as I'm walking back, there's a still warm perch in the middle of the path. So you know that one of those eagles got that perch. How would you be if you're an eagle? First of all, it can't be easy to catch a perch like that. They're not always going up toward the top. You got to wait for them. So it comes down, gets that perch, full perch, just in the middle of the deal. Probably doesn't know where it is. Kind of buried with a powder of snow after it dropped. Still warm. How crazy is that?
And then all I hear is the eagle has the voice of an old guy, like an old farmer guy. Like, damn, I can't find my keys. Or the hell, dude. Where'd they put them? Where'd they put that perch?
Yeah. I almost just took that perch back with me and flayed it. Honestly, I should have done it. But I figured the eagle would come back for it. And I didn't want to, you know, maybe it was sitting there watching. I kind of felt bad for it. Anyways. Yeah. But Bemidji's so cool, dude.
That's right. I think I saw your name, the marquee tickets for sale. It was like they were already trying to sell the tickets sometime early. So I was like, hey. It would be nice to see, but I was just visiting my family up that way.
Snuggle up to a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting just for you. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Katie and Nina with the Collar Club and the Southwood County Humane Society. The Collar Club, where we groom, board, and play, and keep your pets safe and happy while you're away.
Hey guys, Valentine's Day is this Tuesday, and what better way to say I love you than with a bouquet of fresh flowers from Angel Gardens. Angel Gardens has a great selection of fresh flowers, as well as Valentine cards, balloons, plush bears, and more. Stop by Angel Gardens, 2210 Kingston Road in Wisconsin Rapids. Call them at 715 715-
323-6100 or order online at www.angelfloraldesigns.com. Angel Gardens delivers to homes and businesses in the greater Wisconsin Rapids area.
Hello, DoorWorks. This is Kathy.
Quick, I gotta talk to Doorman.
Doorman here? How may I help you?
Doorman, you gotta help me, and quick. Aw, man, I just backed into my garage door. Yeah, I know, stupid. Thought it was up, but you gotta come and help me right away before the wife finds out. I'll never hear the end of it.
Ah, I see. I'll be right over. Us guys gotta stick together, you know.
DoorWorks will replace what's necessary to get your door working just as good as new. Call Doorman anytime, 424-5777.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. Help SmileTrain change the world one smile at a time. Learn more at smiletrain.org/learn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 44 this afternoon under clear skies, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 20 tonight, mainly clear. High temperatures reach up to 44 tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mainly sunny Monday with highs in the upper 30s, chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 41.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, I gotta tell you that the interview you did with Jeff Foxworthy,
yeah,
was the single best podcast interview I've ever heard with a comedian talking about the craft of comedy.
Like, oh my gosh! Wow!
Like, dude, that like I've listened to a bunch of different comedy podcasts and people talk about it, everything, but. It was just really great and enlightening to hear your conversation and where it went. And, you know, he seems like a really easygoing guy. I was on the verge of I was expecting him to say that he also collects Indian skulls. But, like, hey, I was like, that was in my mind. But then he clarified he doesn't collect skulls. So I was like, woo. All right, cool. We're in the good. Just the arrowheads. That's great.
Yeah.
But seriously, that was a really great podcast and good job.
Thank you. That means really a lot coming from you. I appreciate that. Yeah, Jeff is, you know, in his story. I'll ask you, what did you like about sort of what he was saying about comedy? Was it kind of like just how he got up there and started, or kind of the writing process? Or
I think it was the writing process that was really enlightening for me. Like just both your conversations about the writing process and in the business side of it, right? The characters, right? Him talking about, like, he's known for the character, but he also has other pieces outside of that character. And mm-hmm. like, how do you balance that? Because that's what draws the people in. People know you for that. And then you're able to do all this other stuff. It's really, really, really pretty great, you know? Because even for myself, I think about that. As a native, you know, I'm Dakota and Dene, and I am also a little bit of Ho-Chunk. And I feel like in many ways it would be easy, and it has been easy at times, to come up with comedy that speaks to that, like that experience. But then also I want to take the chance and risk to expand beyond that and not, you know, I think the goal is, I think all of us, we don't want to, especially for, I don't want to be too generalized, but mm-hmm. in my experience, a lot of people of color and creatives, it's like we don't want to be known as the Black director or as the Native director. We just want to be known as the director or a great freaking writer or a great comedian. And but we also have to play with the algorithm of society that is, right? Yeah. And mm-hmm. when you I think it was really I don't know the specific reference, but Cat Williams, you know, the stand-up comedian. I remember him once talking about how, like, he has a really strong Black base, but his goal is to get to the broader base. Like, he wants to get to as many people as possible. And that's really a big goal for him. I think there's a part, there's a balancing act for me where I want to continue this, my work to continue to speak to my community. But at the same time, I do like the broader appeal. And that's a question I was going to ask to you.
Mm-hmm.
And like your journey, because you're still, you're based in the Midwest, right? And then your content speaks from the communities from of the Midwest. And there's a balancing act, right? How do you go broad, but maintain your focus and your passion? And so like, do you feel challenged with that? Like, how do you balance all of that? Where?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, it's something that's very much so always on my mind. Because, you know, you built this audience, we built our niche based on the audience that is of that niche. And so it's almost like you do two for them, one for you, you know, mm-hmm. and then, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of will like, we did some of the bigger sketches don't have anything to do with the Midwest, like Questions at the Gas Pump is a sketch that we did that has a fair number of views. And that's not really it. Midwest, but it's Midwest. It's got that veneer of the Midwest, but it doesn't say Midwest in the title. Midwest mm-hmm. isn't mentioned in the thing. So it's these, sort of these universal things, or like we did airlines, you know, like, if airlines were people was kind of another one that sort of took off that wasn't really Midwest based. So it's almost like, I think you always do. You don't abandon your niche or your central fan base, but I think you always push yourself to do these outside of the box ones or things that you just think are funny because they're funny, and then it almost makes the ones you do about your niche, it makes those pop more, because it's all about, I think, surprising the audience. And if you keep doing the same thing, well, then it's less of a surprise. But if you can bring in these outside ones, it helps your niche videos take off more, because now they're more surprising. And then these ones, if they're done well, they also take off more. So, but it is definitely a balancing act. And, you know, you'll also get like, a bunch of negative comments every now and again saying like, you only do one thing, you only do one thing. And it's I don't. I do a bunch of other stuff, but you just haven't seen it. I'm known for this. So, but I think I've always pushed against like you're pigeonholing yourself by doing mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z, because it's just another creative game and a fun creative game to get out of the pigeonhole or whatever it is, you know? I mean, I think, you know, are you, I mean, it's so funny hearing you bring this up, because I'm looking at you like, you know, you made it, you know, I mean, you are a friggin' rock star, dude. I mean, you got a killer show, killer.
I got recognized. I got recognized at Chinatown yesterday in China, in Chicago. That was pretty crazy.
There you go.
I was coming out of a place with my family, and I was like, I had a stroller. I was dealing with the blanket with our kid. And I looked up, and this guy looking at me. He's with his wife and his kid. And he looks at me. He does, the double take. And he looks at me. And he's like, hey. And he asks, are you Dallas? Which is a weird question to ask, because it's almost like, do I know you kind of vibe? Because he's like, hey, are you Dallas? Like, as if somebody just told him to go look for Dallas down the road, right? And Dallas is there. Dallas is coming out of this building. Go say hi to him. And I was like, yeah, I am. And he's like, oh, cool. Like, I really respect and appreciate what you do on Reservation Dogs. And I was like,
that's amazing.
Wow. And I was like, thank you. And he was like, yeah. And he just walked on into the place. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that was random. Like, that was pretty awesome. Like, it was pretty cool, you know, a really cool experience. So in many ways, cool. Yeah, I have gotten to a place where there are, my niche aren't the only folks that recognize me. It's other people that will recognize me. So I do recognize that. And, you know, for my character, like speaking to what we're talking about here, like my character spirit is your stereotypical Indian on a horseback, but it's a spoof on that, right? Like, we want to turn it upside down. And when Sterling Harjo, the showrunner, he told me about the show, he called me up and said, hey, I got a role. I have a couple of roles I would like you to audition for. And so I actually auditioned for not only Spirit, but also for the cop. I actually kind of wanted the cop, but I knew, because I knew I could kill the Spirit. I knew I could do it. But I was like, I'm going to challenge myself and try to go for the cop. But I got the Spirit, which is great. It's fine. And, you know, the script was pretty light because Sterling knew me. And when he, the lines he wrote were pretty like generic line. Like they were just like, yeah, he was at the Battle of Little Big Horn. He died. Horse rolled over him. Never actually got to the battle. And now he's a Spirit helper. And when we went to go film the pilot, like it was really, it's really nerve wracking because there's a whole big crew there, hundreds of people, and Sterling's there and he's nervous. I could tell he's nervous as hell too, because this is the first show he's ever done. And he's directing it. But once we got the cameras rolling and we just started, like, I did the lines, I did what was on paper, and then we just started riffing, you know, started just improvising the bits out of it. And he would feed me lines and I'll go back and forth. And we just, like, everything disappeared because we were just in the moment having fun. And so what you ended up seeing on camera was about maybe 70% improv. And
oh man,
we filmed that pilot, like that first scene, the first scene in the first episode. And we had to take a break because I had to move the cameras. And I'm just sitting there by myself out in the little field. And Sterling comes up and he's like, man, can you believe this? Like, and he's directing, like, he's like, dude, I can't believe like the money that they're putting into, like, I can't believe we're doing this. This is amazing. They should never have given us cameras. Like, this is crazy. And what he said sticks with me to this day is he was like, look, what we just filmed is going to be amazing on camera. But what we just did, dude, he's a like, dude, we've been doing that for years. Like, we've been doing this, but no one's invested into us. No one's given us the money to do this. And now we got the resources and they're investing in this. Like, let's kill them. Let's do the best we can. And like, that was eye opening for me. Like, I'm like, yeah, the comedy you see in Reservation Dogs, the storytelling is what we have been doing, but there's been, from the mainstream industry, there's been no investment into Indigenous storytellers or filmmakers and directors and writers to the degree that we're now seeing. So it feels pretty darn good to be where we're at. And to build what we're building.
You are, you're also an activist and an organizer. And I feel like that your comedy is a different form of activism in a lot of ways, of just like the way you shape people's perceptions. And, you know, as a white guy watching it, you know, you watch it and you're like, I know what you're saying there, you know, because like,
yeah,
I'd probably screwed up in some of the ways that you're pointing out here and there. You know, I know.
Yeah. Hey, I got a challenge for you, Charlie.
Yeah.
How many tribes can you name that are in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Ho-Chunk, Oneida, Potawatomi, Stockbridge, Muncie. Hang on.
Okay. So, he's getting nervous.
I am Lac du Flambeau up there. Mm-hmm. And then, okay. So then up by Bayfield, I'm not going to Google. There's,
and yeah. So that's all good. The ones up north, which tribe are they all belong to? Like, there's different
Ojibwe.
Ojibwe. There you go.
Ojibwe. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Winner. Wait,
winner. Wait, what? Okay, I'll just take the win. I'll take the W.
No, it's great. I was actually, that was one of my questions coming into it. And I wasn't like trying to set you up or like say, expect you not to know them. Actually, I was like, hey, he probably knows the things. But it's always good to see anyone who's of a quote unquote influence. It's a weird title. I know it's a weird title, but like to also, they also acknowledge and recognize the Native folks who live within their, where they live or where they're from. I mean, because that's really what we're, my character and the like Spirit and a lot of my comedy speaks to is the lack of information or misinformation, right? And to play on that because of our school systems in many ways haven't done justice when it comes to Indigenous history, and the stories of Indigenous peoples, especially on the regional, local level, right? National level, we all hear about the main moments and the big picture things, but on the regional, local level, sometimes it's really lacking. And I think I as a comedian, I find so much comedy in that, the fact that of what the misinformation that we have, and because it sets you up to really counter those expectations, right? What do you expect when you see an Indian on horseback on TV? You know, you expect a stoic warrior, and here in Reservation Dogs, you get a not stoic warrior who didn't even get to the battle. He died before the actual battle happened, right? And yeah. let's just enjoy and live in that moment. And all of our, you know, whenever spirit comes up, I really like to speak to like, what is the counter narrative that we're trying to push here, that in the comedy within that, right? You're expecting the stoic Indian wisdom, but yet you see a spirit on a porta potty eating an apple, right? That's one of my, it's a scene that I have. Like that, that's what I'm speaking to. So like the question I give to you is almost a part of that, the whole meta narrative of what do we not know about the places where we live. And I got to say, like, I'm so, I know I'm talking a lot, but I just like, well, appreciate your podcast and what you do, because it's really grounded in community. It's grounded in the region that people mm-hmm. care and love for. But even within that region, there's a lot of history that we don't know. And I think I love that. Appreciate you bringing on comedians and other like people who speak from that region, whether like whatever background they are, to help like flush that out, right? So as a nod, I'm tipping the hat to you, sir.
Oh, well, sir, I very much so appreciate that. And you know, I will be honest, growing up too, you know, sort of in the suburbs of Milwaukee, sort of my education on the issue was, I don't want to say non-existent, but not up to snuff, I think. And it wasn't until like I did this one video, right? The Manitowoc Minute, the first one, I didn't expect it to take off, and then it did. And then I was doing more. And then I think people kind of, you know, were asking me the questions about Wisconsin, the Midwest. And I was a little bit uncomfortable with it, to be honest with you, because I represent one aspect of the Midwest, and that's sort of this one. Yeah. And then I wrote this book, The Midwest Survival Guide. And I got even more uncomfortable because in it, you know, the publisher wanted sort of like, they had these ideas of doing a timeline of the history of the Midwest. And I was like, oh, shit. I mean, because like Manitowoc is a native word. Sheboygan is a native word. And Milwaukee, Potawatomi, you know. And so we've got to honor this in a way. And it can't just be lip service. It's got to be authentic. And then add comedy. But it was very hard for me to try and figure out where was appropriate for me to add comedy to it, you know. So I had who was on my podcast as well, Josie Lee. She's Ho-Chunk, and she's incredible. She's she helped guide me quite a bit on that. And but in doing that book, I'll admit to you, the early phone calls I had with her, my ignorance had shown. It very much so did. And you know, I don't have any excuse for that, because I've had opportunities to figure it out. But I'm kind of learning as I go. I did an intertribal powwow up at Stockbridge Muncie up in Bowler. You been up there at all?
Yeah.
Have you done North Star with the anyone?
I've only stayed at North Star. We stayed in Stockbridge, but we actually did a show in Menominee
over. Oh, yeah, sure.
And sure. We did a video there, Menominee Res in their forest. And we did a spoof on, what was it? Last of the Mohicans, and the running scene, and there's a violin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we did a whole bit on that, and it's beautiful up there.
It's incredible,
so amazing. But yeah, we haven't. That's my experience there at Stockbridge Muncie.
Yeah, well, you know, and I was just kind of, I think it's. I'm glad you kind of brought this up too, because I think, you know, white people, I'll speak, you know, for, I guess, myself and maybe people I know that are also white and are not sure how to approach some of these things. You know, I think it's sometimes it's like you want to do the right thing, but you haven't taken the time to figure out what the right thing is to do. And so you kind of clam up. You're like, am I supposed to say Native American or not Native American or Indigenous or like, how do I, you know, and then therefore, and then what happens is you just kind of get nervous.
Yeah.
And these interactions that you could have where you could learn something, you're just kind of nervous and you're just like not absorbing anything. So I think kind of just breaking down like and understanding that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to be ignorant. You didn't grow up that way. It's not 100% your fault. But I think to just not do anything or to not figure out at all. But more so I'm saying all this to lead up to a question for how you feel on it, you know, because who gives a how I feel on it, you know?
Yeah, keep your white tears to yourself, Charlie.
I know. Jeez. They're not even salty.
But collect them because we use them in ceremony. So keep your white tears. I feel like, you know, I grew up in Southwest Minnesota, right? And I also, my stepdad was from South Dakota. So I actually went back and forth between Eastern South Dakota and Southwest Minnesota for most of my life. Spent the summers in Minneapolis and Southside Minneapolis, which still to this day has a pretty fairly prominent Native community. There's a lot of Native folks who live in Southside Minneapolis. And, you know, we're used to it, like used to the fact that folks around us don't know about much who we are. Right. I grew up, my community in Southwest Minnesota, Lower Sioux Indian community, it's a tiny res. It's like 5 miles by like 8 mile, like 5 miles by 8 mile, kind of like a little block. And it's like it's a dash of pepper on a sea of salt kind of vibe. We're in Minnesota, right? It's like cornfields and white farmers everywhere around us. And, you know, we grew up with the ignorance. I grew up with my friends, my non-Native friends who would be like, oh, I can't go to your home. I can't go to the res because my parents said it's not safe there, right? Where it's too dangerous out there, or we're not allowed to go anywhere where there's other Natives around. And that's what we grew up with, right? And we had to just deal with it. And I guess even to this day, my sister has kids she's raising back there where there's still that stigma. And so, you know, I've seen a lot of growth over the past, you know, 20 years, a lot of public education. A major moment in Minnesota, at least, was a history around the U.S. Dakota War of 1862 was a major education system, an endeavor that the state took upon to really educate folks on the history of Dakota and white relations in the state and that war that happened. For folks that don't know, this is like here, I'm putting my teacher organizer hat on. For folks that don't know, we just finished, there was an event that just happened a couple of days ago that happens every year on an annual basis. And so on December 26, 1862, in Mankato, Minnesota, it was the largest mass hanging in U.S. history to this day. The largest mass hanging in U.S. history happened in Mankato, Minnesota, where they hung 38 Dakota men at the same time. They built this massive scaffold. Thousands of people came out to celebrate and had cannon salute and all that stuff. And there were all warriors of my people who fought in the War of 1862. And to this day, on an annual basis, every Christmas night, we do a memorial run in memory of them from Fort Snelling, which is in St. Paul, Minnesota, right in the confluence of the Minnesota and Mississippi River. And we run 92 miles relay style all night to Mankato, Minnesota, to the hanging site. And in conjunction with that, there's a horseback ride that happens. It's a 300-mile horseback ride that leaves from the Missouri and the Missouri River and rides to Mankato. And those are in memory of not only of the men that were hung, but also of the hundreds and hundreds of families who were forcibly relocated out to South Dakota and removed from Minnesota. And so we do this memorial run and ride every year. I think this might be the last year for the ride, but the run still goes. And my family's participated in it since I was a kid. I haven't been able to go for the past 2 years, but it's a pretty powerful thing that a lot of folks don't know about, why we do this run and the history of it to honor those relatives who died. And it's a history that sadly a lot of folks don't know, even, and especially in Minnesota. I think that's what I'm saying is Minnesota, we're trying to do better to educate folks on it. So we just continue to talk about it. So put that in your timeline, Charlie, of your comedy book of all the funny tidbits of history of the Midwest. Put that in your book.
See, you're hitting on it right there. Yeah, go ahead and make that funny boy. Yeah. But no, I am glad you brought that up. And your family, you come from. Your dad is obviously a very famous activist. What was it like? And your mom as well. What was it like growing up in a family like that? And how did that influence you?
My dad is Navajo. My mom is Dakota, German, and we're part Ho-Chunk. My Ho-Chunk side, they're from Black River Falls. I don't know much on that side, but that's
okay.
I want to recognize that. My German side, actually, I just started learning this. My sister did the ancestry thing. What is it? Whatever. And so I was like, you know, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to give them my DNA. I won't do that. My sister did it. And I'm like, okay, I'll use your information. That's how I skirted around the moral issue of giving up my DNA. So I let my sister do it. But we never knew our German side. My mom's dad really didn't know it, but they were actually German immigrants back in mid 1830s into Wisconsin, and they came in to do for the lumber industry, and then they migrated over the river and came into Minnesota. So my German side they originally came into Wisconsin and then came over to Minnesota. My mom is hilarious, and that's I think where I get a lot of my comedy and my like humor, my lightheartedness to it. And my dad, like, that's where I get my organizing side, like my world perspective, and like I really ingrounded, like I really find a lot of direction from both of them. They separated when I was young. My dad lived in Minneapolis, so I used to go to Minneapolis, and he moved to Bemidji. I ended up going to Bemidji a lot. And you know, my mom has always been, I don't know, like, to be honest, like, I don't know how she's made it this far. And she says that too. She's like, she's been through a lot of difficult history. She was in a book. She wrote a book about her, a lot of the trauma she experienced when she was younger. But she's like, you know, she lives by the mantra, don't sweat the small stuff. She has these little sayings that I still continue to this day. I have. And she really is like, hey, don't let, like, just keep going. Just keep going and make light of the situation. It's the best we can do. And I really take that to heart. So I love my mom. She's just hilarious. I actually want to do a little podcast, a series of, like, I want to interview her and talk with her. That's one of my dream projects over the next few years, is do something with my mom.
That would be super cool. Like a sort of a mini series podcast type thing.
Yeah. She has a great perspective on a lot of stuff.
What did they think about you when you and your brother, when you guys started doing comedy, you know?
They were always have been supportive, like 100%, but just like, oh, you boys, you guys are just, you're just off, you know, you boys are crazy. They 100% supportive. Like the first shows that we started doing, they were the ones that we used to always come out. It was actually, so I told you about the show. One of our worst shows was my own home community. And it's because they didn't advertise it. No one knew about it. There was 15 people showed up. And 10 of them weren't even from my community. They were a bunch of interns who were visiting from a program out of the cities who happened to be there. And they're like, oh, let's check this out. So like 10 of them weren't even from my community, weren't even from there. And then the other ones were happened to be walking by. And my buddy who I did the show with, Bobby, the point that he always loves to really jab at is that my mom showed up, but she didn't even come into the show. She stood on the outside and was smoking a cigarette the entire time, looking through the window. So she was just like looking at the window, just smoking cigarettes and visiting with people. So she didn't even see the show. And she came in and she was like, oh, you guys did such a good job. And I was like, Mom, you weren't even inside the building. Like, you could at least be in the room. Help me out, Mom. I needed to laugh, Mom. But yeah, I forgot where that came from. But yeah.
But as far as support, so where would you put that on the support level? You know,
like at least she showed up, right? Like, yeah, hey, right. I got to give her that. She showed up.
Thanks for tuning into the Cripescast this week. To listen to the whole podcast, check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on social media.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.